Well, that was a bit of nice lively music, wasn't it? What fun. Today we are starting a new series called Faith Exploits. And in that series we're looking at Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to take about 10 sessions. It's running up into August. And we've got guest speakers, as you just heard, coming in speaking during that period. But I'm really looking forward to what God is going to do with us in this particular season. Because we are, as a church, we're putting together God's spoken word to us, his prophetic word, alongside his written word. We feel that God has spoken clearly to us about this as an issue, and we want to give time for God to speak to us both corporately and as individuals in this period, and bring transformational teaching into our lives. So if you want to turn to Hebrews 11, if you're using paper, it's just after Timothy and Titus and before Peter and James. If you have an electronic version, just search for Hebrews. Hebrews 11 and verses 1 to 3. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. But before I want to go straight into that verse, before we dive into the detail, I want to first look a bit broader, particularly at the start of a series. So let's spend a couple of minutes to consider what the whole book is speaking about and get some context before we start looking at these few verses. So firstly, for this chapter itself, Hebrews 11, it's often called the chapter on the heroes of faith. The great stories of the men and women of old, for the exploits of faith that they have experienced and seen God move in. And we're going to spend the next few months looking at those stories, being inspired by them, reflecting on them, being challenged by them, and ourselves hopefully going on to greater things, greater exploits of faith. And these stories are climaxed by Jesus. He stands at the head as this great man of faith that is our example in all things. The whole book of Hebrews, as you read it through, feels quite different to some other parts of the material in the New Testament. There are many references to the Old Testament and a laser-like focus on Jesus being the fulfillment and the best of every image and illusion we have in the Old Testament. It's not totally clear who the author of the book is, although it seems to be addressed to a group of Christian believers who have a strong Jewish background. So they're well versed in understanding these Old Testament allusions. But they're experiencing some persecution. Possibly just before the most severe persecution that the Christians had under the Roman Emperor of Nero. And there's a concern underlying the book that they are wanting to give up the Christian faith and return to their Jewish roots. So the author is writing to encourage them. He's saying to them, continue on in the faith. Be committed to Christ. He is the best of all that you know in the Old Testament. And he wants them to endure even in hard times. To continue in their faith. And the book emphasizes the superiority of Christ. And lays down that encouragement for us to persevere in faith. It's a great book. We're spending a whole term looking at just one chapter of that book. If you want to explore it more, can I encourage you to come along Tuesday evening? We'll be looking through, walking the world, we'll be looking through at this particular book. I think that's about Hebrews chapter 4. Is that right this week? Anyone? Yes? Thank you, June. I see that nod. So if you want to engage more with the book, that would be a great opportunity to do that. But why now? Why are we looking at this particular chapter now? Why as elders have we decided to focus on Hebrews 11 and call this series a chapter, call the series Faith Exploits? We believe that God has spoken to us as a church through our friend Ginny Bergen when she was with us. She's from Sheffield. She's with us in February. And she shared a prophetic word which really resonated with us. And as a charismatic church, we want to be open to God's Spirit speaking to us and that affecting what we actually do. So I want to repeat just the first half of that word that she shared so that we can be challenged again. We can hear that afresh. If you want to get a copy of the word itself, there are copies through in the foyer on the information desk. I don't expect you to be reading that bit there. That's quite a challenge. But I'll read it out to you, and you can get a copy later on if you wish. This is Ginny's prophecy from February this year. And I can't do it in Ginny's accent. I have a sense that God wants to encourage you in faith. And I just feel him saying that faith exploits are not just meant to be written into your history. Faith exploits are not just that you are standing in now, that you have experience, that you have written pamphlets about. Faith exploits are not just plaques on the wall with coins in, but faith exploits are in your future as well. Faith exploits are written into the journey ahead. And I would have you know that it's time now to roll up the tent and be prepared for more faith exploits. It's time to be stretched again. Time to lengthen the cords again. It's time to extend the borders again. It's time for faith exploits again. I want you to know that this is not just that exists over you as a corporate body. I want you to know that this is what exists over each individual here. This is a day now where you can bring to me every empty jar and have expectation that I will fill it. So without Ginny's knowledge, her reference to the stretching and lengthening of cords was one that we shared as an eldership at the beginning of the year from Isaiah 54 for our aims for this year. And that really got our attention. And we're going to use Hebrews 11 to help us focus on faith exploits that the ancients did, all ultimately looking to our great hero of faith, Jesus Christ, that we can fix our eyes on him, the author and the perfecter of faith. So we as elders believe that God is speaking to us now about this as an issue. So church, open your ears. It's time for new adventures. It's time for faith exploits. So this season that we're in, open your hearts, your ears, your minds to God for him to speak to us and be ready to act upon it. Father, even now we pray, Spirit of God, even as we've shared that prophetic word, as we've read those few verses from Hebrews 11, as we start this adventure ourselves looking at this book, as a church community, as individuals, we pray, Spirit of God, that you will open our hearts and minds. We want to be open to you. We want to be a church that's listening to you. We want to be a people who are engaged with what you have in store for us. Because we want to see your kingdom come and your glory to be seen. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I say, if you want to get a copy of that prophetic word, it does continue. They're out on the information table outside. So I've given you a bit of background to Hebrews, a bit of context as to why we're doing it now. Let's look at this text again. So now faith is confidence, what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. We can hope for many things. I guess there are some people here hoping that Sunderland will stay up this season. Looks a bit more likely after yesterday's match. Others may be hoping they won't. Ooh. Some, like Claire, as you mentioned, notices, may be hoping that the God Loves June project will be nice weather as well. She's hoping for nice weather. Some here may be hoping that they do well in their exams. Dare I mention that word? And we can never be too sure about those things. What is it that makes faith different to hope? Faith is confidence in what we hope for. And that Greek word behind the word confidence is one that would have been used for legal documents at the time that the Bible was written. And these legal documents would outline the title deed of a property or a building. And it would describe exactly what was owned in that title deed, and it would describe the owner. So if there are any issues over who owned a particular land, you would go and prove your ownership by using this title deed. So when the author is using that term here, we get the sense of a legal entitlement to something. A confidence, a legal entitlement to a hope that God has given us. If God has spoken to us, that faith response is because we believe we have that entitlement because God has spoken it to us. It's a legal thing that it's used for. Faith gives us an assurance of something that we do not yet see. It may be something that God has spoken deep within our hearts, in our lives. But we do not yet see it actually lived out in our lives. But we have an assurance that God has spoken it. But we can't see it in its physical form. It lies within our hearts. And as you begin to live for that hope you have, it will transform your life. You will give things to achieve the purpose that God has put inside your heart. As God has spoken to you and faith has come, you're seeing it within your own heart and you want to take steps to see it come to fruition. Faith is also potent. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he said, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Faith is potent. It's powerful. We only need a little bit of it, as small as a mustard seed. I've always wondered about this phrase about people saying, "I want to get more faith for something." I often feel that it means you've got to really kind of pressure and crunch yourself up. "I want more faith. Give me more faith." Can it mean that? But this week I came across a quote which I think originally came from Luther, who was one of the reformers. Because faith is about being able to put your trust in the promises of God. Faith is only as strong as the one whom we believe and trust. The efficacy, which is effectiveness of faith, does not rest upon the intensity of what we believe, but in the reliability of the one whom we believe. Isn't that releasing? It's not about, "Yes, I'm going to get a faith." Actually, I trust. I believe in a great God who is reliable, who is faithful, who can be trusted. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We need to hear God's voice. As we listen to him speak, as we tune into what he is saying to us, faith is released as we hear God speaking to us. And I'm afraid I don't have time this morning to go into that in depth. If you are wanting to see how God speaks to us, we have been having an excellent course in the last few months called the Prophetic School. And we've had some excellent teaching on how to hear the voice of God. So we're using the Bible and we're using ourselves, using the Spirit to speak to us. And I'd encourage you, if you want to explore that more, it's available on the website through podcasting, and the course continues over the next few months. But it's a great way to engage and to learn how God is speaking to us. Finally, faith inspires action. Faith makes a difference in our action and our behavior. There is a response. A deed must be done. As James speaks about in chapter 2 of James. Someone will say, I have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. So there's an action to come. Faith is belief in action. We can just believe something, but unless you act on it, it's not faith coming through. So from those brief look at some themes about faith as we read it in the New Testament, we can say that faith is potent. We don't need much of it. It's spoken about as small as a mustard seed. It comes from hearing God, tuning ourselves into hearing God's voice, either through the Bible or through the Spirit as he speaks to us today. It brings confidence to our hopes. It brings an assurance to us of his future plans for us. And finally, it inspires us to action. You don't just hear the word and go and ignore it, but it comes to you and inspires you into action. Now for me, one of the biggest, at the moment, at this stage in my life, the biggest financial exploits of faith I ever had started with one of these. We were in planning stages to purchase this building. And we had no planning application cleared to buy this building. And the vendor was asking for a deposit to make sure that we would have this as a building. And they were asking for a non-returnable deposit. That means you don't get your money back if you don't get planning permission. And the elders were having breakfast together. And there were three of us at the time. And we were discussing this as an issue. And great faith fell upon us. And we could have, I guess, used church funds and written a check for the money that was required to put down that non-returnable deposit. It wasn't a small amount, but as we discussed, as we prayed, we really felt challenged for us as elders, for the three of us, three families, that we would, between us, put down the non-returnable deposit to purchase this building. And a few weeks later, we had an offering where only three people gave, which normally is not a good sign, but it was the elders at the time putting in to put the deposit down for this building, non-returnable. Faith in action. And over breakfast, there's excitement, there's faith, there's courage. Oh, great, let's... I've got to go home and tell the wife. She responded wonderfully. But that still goes down as the most expensive breakfast I've ever had. But God was in it. We could see what God was going to do. And there was a response within us. And the rest, they say, is history. Now, that's a great story of faith, isn't it? But the point of Ginny's word to us is not to be looking back to past exploits of faith. Her word to us was to push into new exploits of faith. And I'm sure that we all have our own stories where you've stepped out in faith and God has honoured and blessed that. But let's go and get some more. Let's go again and push into what God has for us as a church. Verse 2. This is what the ancients were commended for. This faith that they have. The author hints at what he's coming into in the rest of the chapter as he begins to reflect on these heroes of faith. And the author recounts these great stories of old. And he wants to make it clear to us that their actions were commended by God. Their actions brought pleasure to God. And later in the chapter, he says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So it pleases God, brings pleasure to God as we take steps of faith. And finally, verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. It is by faith that we accept the astonishing statement that God speaks and creation happens out of nothing. The visible from the invisible, and shows the great power of God, that God has, the power of his word into situations. That as he speaks, things are changed. And as we are in Christ, as we speak things in the name of Jesus, there's power in that name. Power to bring healing, power to bring wholeness and blessing on people's lives. Now, when we look at our own lives, we might think that we don't use faith much in our everyday life. We might think that, but it's only if I'm asked to pray for someone who's sick, that's when I really have to use faith. And that's when I'm really going to engage with faith. But I want to encourage you to think through how we are using faith all the time, and encourage you that you're doing that. You're using faith even now. So I want you to imagine what this looks like to someone who comes into this building but doesn't understand what's going on. I want you to imagine we have a visitor from outer space who has no concept of what's happening here. And he sees people travel some distance from a wide area to come to a building where other people don't normally travel on that particular day. As they come in, he sees these humans drink a black liquid which is extracted from dried plants. Then he sees them all come into one building, one room, and they start shouting at a light on a wall. He sees a smaller group hitting things. Then they all sit down and are quiet, and one person speaks. And then they stand up again and shout a little bit more, and then go back out and drink some black liquid extracted from dried plants. Now, I hope that's not your experience of a Sunday morning, but that would be what our Mr. Alien or Mrs. Alien observes if they would come to here. Because without faith, that is what we are doing. We're shouting at a light on the wall. But with faith, we're engaging with the Almighty God. With faith, we're raising praises to a God who we cannot see here. So we have faith. We are expressing faith all the time. Whenever you pray, surely you are expressing faith because you're believing and acting in a God. You're believing those prayers make a difference. When you read your word, you're expecting God to speak to you through that. You're expressing faith as you act and believe. We can't prove that. It's by faith that we believe in it. But it is a confident hope. It is an assured hope. If it was certain, if it was somehow proven, we would be using knowledge. We wouldn't be using faith. And it's by faith that we are able to please God. So we come to him in faith. And as we come to him in faith, as we engage individually as a church, God will speak. God will give you faith exploits. That next step in your journey of faith with him. And that will look different for probably every single one of us. What are the things that God has whispered to you about? It may have been years ago. Something that you've just carried for years and years and years. Always, I wonder if this would ever happen. Is God beginning to whisper again? It might be something that God spoke to you in just the first few months that you became a Christian. I often find, as I speak to people, there are some things that happen. Those first few months becoming a Christian, a seed is planted. It's time now to reflect on that, to think that through. What dreams have you been thinking about? What is that faith exploit? Well, it's time to stir them again. God is speaking to us prophetically to stir them again, to pray, to research, to dream, to talk, to plan, to begin. And as a church, I believe we have a good record of helping people in releasing the things that God has called them into. I've often described that idea to people by, well, come along, have a chat, talk it through. I found out recently that is now called the church has an entrepreneurial culture. I know, not bad. But what if it doesn't quite work out the way that you were hoping? It might just be me, but have you been in a situation where you've had faith for something you were hoping for, you're expecting, you were praying into, you had a peace over, you had prophetic words into, and it just didn't quite happen the way that you hoped? Is that just me? Now, we are in community here. And what a great community to be part of that can encourage each other if, when that may happen with us. And these issues can be any number of things. It could be a job move. It could be a life partner. It could be a family issue. It could be illness. It could be finance. And you've had faith for something. And what happens now? Now, the initial reaction might be to blame God. Why didn't this happen? Why have you let me down? But normally, with some reflection, with some time, other questions come to mind. Questions like, well, did I really hear God at that time? Did I perhaps let my heart get carried away with something? As humans, we are great at letting our hearts get carried away with something and think up certain things. You may well have heard God, but you've perhaps interpreted it in the wrong way. And that promise is still there for you. You've still just got to find out what that actually means for you. There may be an issue about timing. That yes, God is putting that into your direction, but it's not quite for you now. I've found that God is more concerned with our heart, with our character, and working in areas like that than kind of giving us a title or a particular job to do. God is concerned with us as individuals, maturing us in Christ. And he has our whole lifetime to work with. We can be so impatient, can't we? We want things happening now, next week. Whereas God has a much bigger picture, much greater plan for us to see those things fulfilled. So be patient. God is changing you. God is maybe teaching you something. Keep on in faith. And in that process, a great prayer to pray is, God, if it's not your will, close the door. We're seeking God's will in all that we do. And ask that big prayer, if it's not right, will you please close the door? But it's great that we are in a community here. We can seek counsel, we can seek help. We have open relationships where you can lay down with trusted friends some of those questions, some of those issues. You don't have to go through these issues by yourself. We're in community here. We're there to love and support each other. One illustration that I always have kept in mind, it's a very famous one, but it's the illustration of the tapestry. And in our lives, we look at the tapestry, it looks a bit like this. There's loose ends, there's knots. You can't really make out what the picture actually is. There's no sense, there's no connection. What is happening? That's the perspective that we have. But actually God is on the other side. God is the one who's forming the tapestry. And he sees a wonderful picture of all these events in your life that are tied together. As he is the master craftsman at weaving these things into your life to produce an amazing tapestry that's beautiful. But we don't see that view yet. We see the tangle at the back. Jesus, once again, is our great example as one who lived by faith. Who went to his death, trusting, believing in God. He is the one who has made our hope secure. And today, if you have uncertainty about your future, if you want to have security for this life and for life to come, there'll be an opportunity at the end of the meeting to respond to this Jesus, to ask him to come and help you, to ask him to give you a different perspective on life, to speak God's perspective into you, to give you that security of able to trust in him for all that he has for you. So as we are about to enter the arena of Hebrews 11 Hall of Fame, please be ready to hear the cheering of this great crowd of witnesses as they delight in seeing us take our own exploits of faith. And of Jesus, who has gone before us in faith, be encouraged. Persevere in what God is calling to you. Listen to him to speak to you and to release faith within you. Can I have the band back up, please? As I come up, I just want to read those couple of verses we looked at this morning. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. For this is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible.